Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. We were just backstage talking about delayed is not denied. And I want to say, can I tell you the truth? And I get nervous when people tell me, can I tell you the truth? And I'd be like, well, what you been telling me all along? But I want to say to you today, can I tell you the truth?
Amen.
And the truth is, for 57 minutes, we have been challenged going live on Facebook. We have been on YouTube. We wanted to make sure we were live on Facebook. And now we are. And sometimes you have to be honest and not afraid to tell the truth. And you have to trust God for the outcome.
Yes.
Saying that says there's no failure in God. And no matter how many times we mess up, and no matter how many times we may feel like we have gotten as low as the ground, God is there to lift us up. So I say again, tell the truth. Don't be ashamed of the truth. Don't be ashamed of failure. Don't be ashamed of messing up. Don't be ashamed of making mistakes, because we are not perfect. We will mess up. We will make mistakes. We will miss the mark. Paul says we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God.
Yes.
There's none righteous but him.
Yes.
So if you have sinned, if you have messed up, if you have missed the mark, God is gracious and his hands are right here extending to welcome you back. Donnie McClurkin sings, I fall down, but I get up. A saint is just a sinner who fell down and got up. And then he says, get back up again, get back up again. And we had to go through all that we went through for the past 58 minutes to say that to you. It's worth it.
It's worth it.
It's worth it. I thank God for these ladies, Pastor Deborah Mull, Sister Edith Brown, Briggs Builder, Miss Anithia Thomas, and their faithfulness. And Anithia, can I tell the truth about your situation?
You can tell the truth.
Because I believe you had to be here. Mm-hmm. While we were trying to get the connections, while we were trying to get online, Anithia is texting us and telling us that she has to take her mother to ER. So we began to pray. In our other recording, you can see it. It's on YouTube. We're going to leave it right there. But I believe she's supposed to be here with us in this conversation.
Yes.
How can we build this sharing? How can we have this share without having the bridge builder present with us? And we were talking about the importance of unity in prayer. The importance of repentance. The importance of forgiveness. And we are talking about United Praying Women, the movement. And Pastor Mo has informed us. What did you inform us of? Pastor Mo, before, what comes before the movement?
The sound.
The sound.
A sound of a mighty rushing wind coming in this month, this season of Nisan, which is the month of divine reversals that took place in the story of Esther. This is the first month in the Jewish calendar, but it may not be your calendar, but timing is everything. And there is a sound. And when we hear the sound, we can move forward. We're moving now. We're marching now. We're standing now. But when the sound comes and you hear the sound of the Lord, you will move. You will move. No matter who you are, what you are, what you're doing. When you hear the sound of the Lord on your heart, in your spirit, you will move. You will, because your footsteps are ordered of Him. They're ordered of the Lord. So there's a sound.
There's a sound. And when we come together, united praying women, there's going to be a sound in that room. Mm-hmm. If you have a prayer shawl, bring your prayer shawl. If you want to bring your oil, bring your oil. If you want to put on your dancing shoes, put on your dancing shoes. Because every day is the day that the Lord has made. But that's a special day. Yeah. That's a special day that God has set aside in the heavens. No, we haven't opened up in prayer yet, but we're getting ready to. I'm going to ask Pastor Moll to open us up in prayer, and then we're going to get into our deeper discussion. Anita is going to facilitate our conversation.
Father, I thank you so much that we are your daughters, and that when you have called us to an assignment, it will be filled, because no weapon formed against it can prosper unless we allow the weapon to prosper. Mm-hmm. So Father, in this next few minutes that we have to share what you have poured out and what you are pouring out in this season, Father, I pray that each word would be precept upon precept upon precept, iron sharpening iron, calling all the swords of the Lord in the hands of your children to come forth on this strategic day, which you foresaw a year ago. The location was selected months ago. The affirmation of your presence has been daily with us ever since. So we're getting ready. We are preparing the way of the Lord for this time of gathering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Moll. I think about the scripture what Mordecai says to Esther. Or she says to herself, could you not have come to the kingdom? That's what Mordecai says. Could you not have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Yes. For such a Kairos time as this? Yes. There's a shaking, there's a movement in the spirit realm. And we are expecting miracles. We're expecting God to move. We're expecting transformation. We're expecting healing. We're expecting deliverance. We're expecting set free. We're expecting financial breakthroughs. I expect a miracle, and you expect a miracle. So, Sister Anita, we're going to turn it over to you and take us however you want to take us.
Amen. All right. Well, good afternoon, ladies. Wow. I feel like, you know, we've been together this whole time, even on the other lives, really, because it's already so powerful in this space. But ladies, you all have been together a long time praying, right? Mm-hmm. So I was going to go right into April 26th, but let's go back for a moment, because this isn't the first United Praying Women that you all have done together. I feel like people need to know that this isn't something new. So tell us about the previous United Praying Women. Tell us about how you all were calling each other and praying even for Pastor Moll's daughter. So let's just go deep a little bit if we can do that. Is that okay?
Yes, yes, Anithia. Our first United Praying Women gathering was held over a decade ago at Billy Graham Evangelical Association. And we had hundreds of women there. It was scheduled for the 1st of January. I think it was the second weekend in January, and it snowed, so we had to reschedule. And I think for that first registration, we had about 400 women. But when we rescheduled, we had a couple of hundred women that had registered. And we're believing God for several hundred women coming together at United Praying Women. But it was there, and I remember God has spoken to call the women together. And the women came together, because I was used to working with men and women. And he said, listen to the sound of the women. That's why I wanted Pastor Moll to talk about that sound preceding the movement. Listen to the sound of the women, because I had always been in prayer gatherings with men and women. And there's a freedom out of the belly, out of the depths, out of the soul, out of the heart. There's a freedom when women cry out unto the Lord. You know, I think about 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who call by my name will humble myself and pray and seek my face. Well, if my people, if my women will cry out, if my women will call, if my women will seek my face, if my women will humble themselves. But I'm also feeling this urgency futuristically, Anithia, for men and women. And I know on the 26th, we're going to have some men. But we're calling the women, but men, you are welcome. You yes. are welcome. You can go to peacocksoulcare.com to register. You can register at barbaralpeacock.com. But yes, we had a clarion call for women, and we have been praying ever since. So we had another gathering at Billy Graham, and then we had a gathering at Christ Central Church. And then our last church that we gathered at was Grace AMB Zion Church near up off of Harris. So we've had four gatherings. Yeah, four gatherings. So this is our fifth. Since 2014. Yeah, that just kind of hit me. Okay. Grace, we walked through the tabernacle. And so I love walking through the tabernacle gathering. And that time we asked all the women to wear white. And in the past, we've asked all the women to wear red and white or turquoise and white or denim and white. But honey, this time you can wear your blue, you can wear your purple, you can wear your green, you can wear your orange, you can wear your black. Oops, you got your t-shirt on. Let's show the t-shirt. Yes. You got to stand up a little bit underneath you. And we're going to have some t-shirts there. If you would like to pre-order a t-shirt, how do they pre-order a t-shirt underneath you?
You go to the Eventbrite page. We're going to put the link in the chat of this live, and you can just click an add-on and order your t-shirt. We can get you sizes and get them to you prior to Saturday, or you can get them Saturday morning, whichever you prefer, or you can order your t-shirt the day of. So we have t-shirts. We're ready, y'all. I mean, it's going to be, we're going to have a good time.
Amen. Amen. So, Anithia, I pray that gives you a little bit of history. Pastor Mo, you've been with us from the beginning. Is there anything you would like to share about the beginning of our prayer gathering?
I just want to share, and Anithia alluded to it, the prayers for my daughter. For those of you who do not know, my daughter was given a 5% chance of survival when battling against a very rare leukemia. But God ignited the intercessors, ignited the prayer warriors, ignited the knowledge in the medical arena, ignited a physician and downloaded a creative solution into him. And I believe it was through prayer that it came, because now she's out and she's on the front line. She's mm-hmm. in the front line of the medical. But I just believe, come believing for the supernatural. We can ask any one thing. He says, where two or more are gathering in my name, ask any one thing and it shall be given unto them according to his will. His will is to heal, mm-hmm. to restore, to love, rebuild, replenish, to strengthen, to undergird, to anoint. Just come. And Barbara, when you talk about the men, I think it's imperative that they feel welcome, because the difference in women and men is that we know how to labor. Mm. They never labored birthing.
Jesus, come on, come on, come on.
That's the only difference. Really, that's the only difference. We are seed carriers, but we laboring the birthing pains. And as women, it's instilled in us on how to do that. So when we're laboring in prayer, it sounds a little different. But their prayers are mighty through God. Tear down the strongholds in a dominion capacity. Because God has given us dominion over the earth. And so together, one declaring dominion and the other one claiming dominion and the other's laboring dominion. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Ready? Hallelujah.
I'm praying for Edith, because she can barely hold her.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Because Sister Edith does not sit still. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is worthy. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. And I just love the testimony from Pastor Mull about her daughter, because it's what we were talking about earlier, that really God has enough miracles to go around for everybody. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes we think, well, he gave her that, but will he give me that?
Yes.
Do I deserve that? That's how generous our God is. He's got enough, you know, that when we come together, we were talking about it earlier, it is that collective praying together. It is that united It is that being on one accord, on one page. And that's why I love with the men and the women, because really in our families, we're going to be praying about families. We're going to be praying about, you know, our children. If we are on one accord, think about the power in our families. Think about the healing. Think about all of those things. So I am really excited about what God wants to do. I am. Amen.
You know, it's amazing, ladies, how things just happen the way that they happen. And the timing is everything. So this morning, I woke up at 5:55. Let out and did a fourth watch. And what was interesting about that is that alarm, that 55 after the hour goes off all day long for me. But this morning at 55 after five, I looked up the definition of 55. Like, what does it mean? And there's grace there, but there's also divine perfection. And so what I really wanted to, I didn't even know that this was the fifth year.
I hadn't even counted.
I had no idea that this was the fifth year. So
not the fifth year, but the fifth gathering.
The fifth gathering, but the fifth gathering. Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. The fifth gathering. So there's something stirring here. I mean, even Dr. Mo coming in, Pastor Mo coming in, talking about the sound, and, you know, Sister Edith, just talking about how it's all coming together. So as we are preparing people to enter into that space, what level of consecration do they need to start now? What do they need to do to prepare? We don't just come into these spaces. We can just come in any old kind of way, but those of us who understand the power that's going to be present and the work that's going to have to be done, what type of consecration are you recommending? How do we need to enter into this space?
Yeah, we talked about earlier about there is such a need for repentance, and because we are in a holy season, you know, we need to acknowledge the holiness of God. Yeah. That no matter how we try to dress it up in our culture, God is still a holy God. Mm-hmm. And so the preparation is around the spirit of repentance of what is it that I really need to confess before God so that I can get ready for my breakthrough. I can get ready for my deliverance, so I can get ready for the miracle that God wants to do in my life. So I would recommend starting with, you know, the spirit of repentance. It's where I start.
I love the spirit of repentance.
Amen. I'm going to talk about prayer and fasting. And Pastor Mo earlier was talking about worshiping. So there's a multiplicity of practices, disciplines that I sense God is calling us to prepare ourselves together. Because some of us are going to listen to this recording. And some of us know about prayer and fasting, and some of us know about repentance, but some people won't hear this. Mm-hmm. And some people, even if they heard it, it may not apply to them. So we want you to come as you are. If you sense God is calling you to pray and fast, we're going to start fasting. I think, is it on Sunday, Anithia?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Saturday. No, Tamma got to the airport, but Tamma's talking to us. Tamma's 26th Saturday. So we're fasting from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. So that means you can eat before 7 a.m. And after 7 p.m. But fasting from 7 to 7 with just liquids. That's my understanding. But Anithia, I haven't been in all the meetings. So there is another one. Can I tell the truth? Monday, 7 a.m. we start. Okay, so we pray and fasting starting Saturday. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Anithia. But the bottom line is fast and pray. Because Jesus says some things only come out by prayer and fasting. Some of you may be able to go on a water fast from 7 to 7. Some of you may be able to go on a totally abstinence fast of any liquids. Some of you may be do the Daniel fast before 7 and after 7. Mm-hmm. But do something. And we're having a meeting with those that are leading in prayer and those that will be serving at the prayer gathering. We thank God for our greeters and our ushers and our intercessors. We thank God for our team that has been working faithfully. But pray and fast. Pray and fast. And Nathan, I'm going to turn it over to you for the details.
I love that. Thank you, Dr. Peacock, because this is a perfect insert. If you are feeling called to participate as an usher or a greeter or a floor intercessor, please reach out to us, reach out to the team, because I'm sure that if that's something that God has placed on your heart to do as a willing participant, we don't want to turn you away. So just let us know. We can get you the details and, you know, invite you into that space to serve on that day, because, you know, we don't want to take for granted that people are just coming just to be spectators. We are all participants here. So we want to make sure that you have that information as well. So I'm going to go to the chat for just a second, because some people are comments, and we have Overseer McGuire. She said, powerful word, and that God is generous. We have Elder Tama Simpson. She said, she asked a question. She said, what is the posture that we approach God in? So she just took my question a little deeper. What is the posture that we approach God in? So let's make it personal. We're not going to tell people how to come to God. We're going to say, you know, what is the posture that you all take as women of God, as seniors, as people who have been on the front line, really, of prayer for a while now? What is your posture whenever you approach God?
Oh, well, I come with a posture of humility first, trying to center myself so I can align with him and search my heart and check my ways. But I think with a posture to desire, just a desire to hear from him. I'm glad that you said we can't complicate coming to the Lord. He says, just come just as you are. Come just as you are. I'll work with you. I'll correct and perfect and discipline and align. Just come just as you are. For me, it comes with a humble heart. I've changed my style of approach. I'm worshiping before I'm asking, so that he can inhabit me, because then I don't ask about me no more. I just ask about everything else, because he perfects all things pertaining to my life. I don't need to ask anything. He already knows what I need. So it's just whatever gets you in front of him, whatever gets you in his presence, that's how you come.
You said something really important that I don't want people to miss. You said that you come and worship, and that there's a shift. You leave worried about yourself, and you kind of shift that stuff to the side, and your posture becomes, what is it that God is having me to intercede for others for? I love that. And it's through worship. So that's really good. Sister Edith.
Amen. That posture, I think it is personal. I want to just reiterate, come as you are. Come. That's what he said. Just come, daughter. Come. I think about, I was sharing earlier that the Spirit has so moved with me, and that are shifting around stillness, because I'm moving all the time. He says, just be still. Mm-hmm. And then this sense of silence. You know, getting comfortable with being silent in his presence, that I don't need to start talking all the time, that I can just be silent in his presence. And that to me is really that posture that gets me ready to hear his voice. So.
No, I love that. Dr. Peacock.
Amen. So I want you to repeat your question, but before you do that, I want to make sure I get this fasting straight here. I was reading Saturday where Tama said Saturday, but the fast doesn't begin Saturday. She was saying, getting us ready for Saturday, April the 26th. The fast starts Monday at 7 a.m. The fast starts Monday from 7 a.m. So we fast from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily, fasting from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily prior to the prayer. So, Anita, can you repeat your question, please, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am. What is your personal approach as you are, what's your personal posture as you approach God?
my personal posture as I approach God. I think about the scripture that says, a lowly and contrite spirit, God will not despise. Meaning a humble and broken spirit. Originally, when you said it, I was thinking broken, needy. I come needy. That's how I come. I come needy. I need God's presence. And I've never said this before, but I think I'm liking it. I come needy. I come needing God's presence. I come needing God's spirit, needing God's love, needing God's grace and peace and forgiveness. One of the things that you've heard me talk about several times, Anithia, is needing to be loved by God. And I believe that love covers a multitude of sins. So I've tried daily to receive God's love, to receive God's love daily. And it's out of that love we're able to love our, to love God back, because he's the essence of love, and to love others and ourselves. But I think in summation is I come broken and needy.
Yeah. There's a course that I'm teaching right now. It's called The Power of Partnership. And as I was thinking about that earlier today, I'm thinking about it now in this space of prayer. And we have a partnership with God. We have a collaborative effort that we can put forth in our relationship with God. So when we think about partnering with God and ways that we're able to connect on a deeper level with him through spiritual direction, through spiritual practices, and all of these other facets, what are some ways that people can begin to enrich their relationship with God and just start to form a stronger, more secure partnership with God as they are coming towards this time of prayer?
I'm going back to spending time in worship. Whatever form of music that ushers you into his presence or draws you in, I'm going to use music first, draws you into his presence, it's a key. It's one of the keys of the kingdom, that we enter the gates with thanksgiving and praise. And so it's a key that begins to turn our heart toward him. Mm-hmm. And then other styles of worship is just reading your word or just sitting still and all that kind of thing. But I think it's imperative, because music covers so many different, there's so many different genres that it covers every type of person that could ever approach the throne. Find your genre that draws you to him and go there. Just go there.
I love the word partnership. You know, that the fact that God really answers prayer. What a partnership. Because when you think about it, he doesn't really need us, but he elects to use us. And so when I think about enriching my partnership with him, because I am his hands and feet on the earth, that his kingdom might come, that his will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. One of my daily practices that he has impressed on me probably over the last 24 months has been this daily practice of consecrating my schedule to him.
Really
letting him own the day. And it is the practice of, you know, because I don't think I'm a planner, but, you know, I'm probably more of a planner than I like to admit sometimes. And so I have a plan. And then he says, well, bring the plan, bring your plan, because my plans are always inferior to his. And so when I want to enrich that partnership, as I bring that schedule and consecrate it to him, he begins to show me first how to pray for the people on my agenda for the day. Because I don't necessarily always know, like today now, I've been doing too much. I had a handyman coming. I began to pray for the handyman before he came. I just began to consecrate, because he shifted the way I approach it, you know. Because again, I'm in a partnership with him, and I want him to be in everything that I'm doing. that God is not just my God of Sunday, but he is my God Sunday through Saturday in everything. And so bringing all those things to him and really putting it before him that my steps might be ordered with him. That's really enriching the partnership for me.
Yeah, that's Proverbs 16:3, you know, just committing it, all of it to him, and then he'll establish the thoughts, yeah. Right? Amen. One translation says the thoughts. Dr. Peacock, you got a strong partnership with what's your partnership like with God? Like, what is, how do you enrich your partnership with God?
How do I enrich my partnership with God? I think about Psalms 46:10, which we could use right about now.
Mm-hmm.
As it relates to the world, the media, what we've been through today, and even as what's coming up, to be still.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. What's so powerful about that verse is that it says so much in so few words.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Still, be still, know God. And then he was like, oh, if you don't get that, I'm exalted above all of this.
Yes. Yes.
I'm exalted above the earth. I'm exalted. So I'm in we're in partnership with the God of the universe. We're in partnership with God, the God that owns everything. We're in companionship with the creator of the universe. We think it's good to go to the moon to go to outer space, but it's bigger to be in partnership, to be in relationship. Hallelujah. Mm. Because I can go see all his universe and still not honor and worship him.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You can have all the money in the world and not have intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
So partnership is intimacy.
Amen.
Being with God is intimacy. Knowing God is intimacy.
Mm. Amen.
If you're watching live, just put it in the chat. What is your partnership like with God? How do you enrich your partnership with God? And how do you live that out daily? We have a few minutes left, so we'll come back to the chat and allow you to answer that question. But
Nita, can I just jump in here a little bit?
Yeah, I got something I want to say to what you just said too, Dr. Peacock.
We enrich our partnership by being open daily. We can't feed on yesterday's manna.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. God got fresh manna. This today, Edith was like, oh, I gotta do this and I gotta do that. And then the handyman shows up. Well, what do I do here? The handyman wasn't there the other 364 days. Mm. But then the handyman shows up on day 365, the handyman day.
Amen.
And you best be present with the handyman and honor the God in the handyman and give the handyman some water and see if he's hungry and needs some chips or a piece of bread.
That's
and
right.
Treat him like handy woman, he or she is a child of God.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
God brought him to your space.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sacred space. Yes. So let's not take anything for granted.
Amen.
Yes.
Be open to new mercies and grace every day.
Amen.
New revelation, new expectation, new faith, fresh anointing, fresh manna, fresh belief.
Amen.
Be open to what God is saying and doing, because God will shift on you. Shifting is not new for God. We think shifting is like this new, this new word, like it's a shift. Well, everything's a shift, baby.
That's right.
From this second to the last second to this second is a shift.
It's a shift.
Yes.
I mean, creation was a shift.
Everything's a shift. When you comb your hair, it's a shift because it never goes back to the same space and you don't have the same number you had yesterday.
Amen.
That's good.
Dr. Peacock, you said we just need to be still. Well, yeah. You need to be still, but you also need to take a look at Second Chronicles, because he equipped us to be in 20:27. He says, you need not have to fight this battle. You need only to be still. Even though I've given you the weapons, I've dressed you with my armor. I've put on all these helmet of salvation, the breast. I've dressed you for battle, but you need not do this battle. But through prayer, we can tear it down. He's going to do the fighting, but we're going to tear it down. And he says, take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord, and I will give it to you. But we don't have to do the fighting.
No.
We just got to stand in position of prayer, postured in faith, postured in agreement, and we will see the Lord follow it out and fulfill it, because we don't have the ability to, but he does.
Yes.
But we can call it to come to pass. We're already dressed for the battle if you dress yourself in the armors of God.
Mm-hmm.
And that handyman was sent to fix what you needed fixing in the natural.
Woo, Jesus.
You needed fixing in the spiritual, but it interrupted your spiritual day, because every day belongs to the Lord. But so he takes care
Hallelujah.
And fixes the things that we don't have knowledge of fixing, as long as we're perfecting everything we have knowledge of him.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I'll perfect all things pertaining to your life. All things.
Amen.
You need not fight this battle, but we must pray.
All things.
Pray probably. During that.
Be still. Let's
pray. Prayer is an earthly license for a heavenly interference.
Mm-hmm.
Gave us the license.
Hallelujah.
Activate.
Y'all get that? Say that again.
Prayer is an earthly license. You got to have a license to drive. You got to have a license to teach. You got to have a license to do this and that and that and that. Prayer is our earthly license for heavenly interference.
Do you have your license, baby?
Do you have your license?
Okay.
It expired. It is renewal time. It is real life identity time. You have been identified in
Jesus
as a son and daughter of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the timing of everything God is pouring out in his last days. And he says to us, we shall do greater things than he did. We're at this precipice point of time to come now. Come now and pray. Come now and be still. Come now, dress for battle. But you need not fight. You just need to pray.
Mm. Amen.
Do you have your real ID?
Do you have your real ID?
Prayer is the real ID. Prayer is the real
time
ID.
Time to renew. Time to renew. Amen. Amen. Mm. Time for
these women. Woo. Amen. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Be ready, be ready, be ready. Stay ready, stay ready, stay ready.
All right.
Where are you taking these women now? I don't know what you're gonna do with them.
Listen, I feel like we need to take up an offering and give the do an altar call and a benediction.
Are you asking for comments in the chat? Did you remember that?
Yes, I did remember. Yes, I did. So we do have a few comments. Elder Tama said, partnering with God. Heidi says, good afternoon, Heidi. Let's see. Tama says, fully surrendering daily to God's will. Heidi Spencer says, join God where he is working daily and being open.
Amen.
Overseer McGuire says, rest in his promised word. Norvita says, trust God. And spiritual fixing. Yes, I think we all kind of caught that one. And then Heidi says, be a reflection of Christ. Be a reflection of Christ. So, of course, you know, ladies, we could talk about prayer all day and what prayer has done and has meant. But as we wrap up, I would like for you all to maybe pause if you need to, be still if we need to, and just reflect and then share the most powerful thing that has ever happened to you from prayer.
Oh my God.
Whew.
just one. What's the most powerful thing that has ever happened from prayer?
That's good. Well, in 2014, I had heart surgery. In 2013, I came to understand that I was born with a mitral valve prolapse. And so when I was in recovery, we discovered that one woman had died. And the woman next to me through the curtain, the doctors were talking about, is she gonna make it? So I didn't know if I was gonna make it, but I was praying for the woman next door that she would make it. And so the most powerful thing that I believe has happened to me in prayer is that as I not only have been saved, healed to survive, but I believe to thrive. And because of the answers of the prayers of the righteous, God brought me through. Mm-hmm. And I thank all of those. Novita was there. Overseer came to see me. Pastor Maul bought me a wardrobe full of clothes to wear in my recovery. And there was a time where I didn't know if I would be able to walk, but I was able to walk. There was a time when I couldn't give myself medicine, but Novita and others were there to give me medicine. And so what may look dead, there's still resurrection power activating.
Hallelujah. You know, I've been thinking about this a little bit already. Sometimes, you know, you don't want to think about them, like the things that have happened. There isn't probably one thing. There's a thousand things. But yeah. I've been thinking about lately has been 1987. You know, they had diagnosed me with this muscle. They really like a form of lupus. They had said, okay, the doctor said, well, we're going to do the biopsy. He said, but I want you to go ahead and get started. He said, because I was having all these symptoms, all the crippling, but I was in Baltimore at the time and I went to the Warriors and I said, let's just begin to pray. Let's just begin to believe God. Mm-hmm. Let's just begin to believe God for that there is more that he has for me to do. Mm-hmm. And so I went on ahead and had the biopsy. And after the biopsy, the doctor comes back and he says, you know, because when they don't know what to say, they say, well, Ms. Brown, looks like some spontaneous remission.
Spontaneous.
Because they didn't know how to explain it, that everything was gone.
Wow.
And, you know, I was reflecting on this. I was having a conversation with my primary care the other day, and I was saying to her the fact that this has been some 30 plus years. And she was like, and I said, so, you know, I believe it was the miraculous hand of God. I said, I know my doctor had an excuse. He had a, you know, how he wanted to cast it in the medical record, but I believe God healed my body. And, he did that because of his love for me and the work that he had for me to do. That it was for me to do. So it began to teach me about praying. And I am grateful every day. I tell folks all the time about my Warriors in Baltimore. Whenever there's something going on, I just call the Warriors, get the Warriors on it. Glory be to God.
Amen.
Pastor Mom. Can I tell you the truth?
Tell the truth. And shame the devil. Oh my God.
Just when the Lord dealt with me over a religious spirit that I had. I grew up as a pastor's kid. I grew up in church all my life, a Pentecostal Holy Ghost filled, running, shepherd, clouting, tambourine, jumping to church. But when my daughter was lost in the world for a season, I was a very condemning mother. everything I said to her, the life and death is in the power of the tongue. You're going to hell. You do the things that you think condemning them is going to convict them. But can mm-hmm. I tell you, condemnation never convicts anyone. Mm-mm. But it was the night that I got the phone call, and she was at the hospital and she had tried to commit suicide. And I remember begging Jesus, just begging, let me, till I got there. And I get there and she's awake and bad condition. And I'm like, why? And she says, it's too hard to please you and try to love God while I'm fighting this sin. It's too hard, Mom, and I don't want to hurt you anymore.
Oh, my.
That moment, the conviction of my condemnation just broke all over me. And I asked her for forgiveness and God for forgiveness. But I asked the Lord to never allow me to go down that path again, that I would have the love of Jesus in me, the way he loves me, the way he loves everyone. And I would see everyone the way he sees them. And that if he would let her live and declare the works of God in her life, I would never go that route again. That's the truth. I love God with all my heart, but he is no respecter of persons. And there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus, mm-hmm. only us. That was my moment that when I saw her recovery, that I knew he heard and answered prayers, that he loved me enough to show me he answered my prayer. I want to speak this to someone to say, don't look at everybody else's logs and specs. Know that this is a time of prayer that God will answer your prayer right where you are, just the way you are, and he will clean you up. But if someone had said you have a religious spirit, I would say, no, you don't, in the name of Jesus. I would just rebuke them, But he rebuked me instead. And corrected in me that was not of him. And I've been forever changed by it. That's been 30 years ago. Longer, probably. That's the
truth. Pastor Maul, it's... I think it's something that we all go through when we grow up in church, because that's how we're raised to live. And I wasn't a PK, but my best friends were. Mm-hmm. And I may as well have been, because that was the life that I lived with them, because I had to walk that fine line just as they did, because I was a reflection of, our friendship was a reflection of their parents. So it makes it hard. So when I thought about my own question to you all, I began to think about all the different things that I've prayed for and God answered, but he didn't necessarily answer them in the way that I thought he was going to answer it, right? So one of my prayers has been, God, make it easier.
Yeah.
Make it easier. And late last year, it was a rule of life, so to speak, right? I didn't realize that's what it was, but that's what it became. And I just started saying, I just want to tell people about Jesus and go to heaven. Mm. And honestly, that's the answered prayer. It made life so much easier because I wasn't living up to the expectations of anyone or anything, or even my own expectations. It's just serving God, telling people about Jesus, and eventually going to heaven. So that's my answered prayer, is that's my easier living, because I don't have those expectations or those falsehoods that I've placed on myself. So what a discussion. What a conversation.
That was a deep question, Anithia.
I could be a deep thinker at times, but any final thoughts? So ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking about prayer because next Saturday, April the 26th at 9:30 a.m. in Indian Land, we are focused on prayer. It's called United Praying Women,
But I promise you, there are going to be some praying men there. There are going to be some praying businesses there that are going to have their table set up for vending. There's going to be continental breakfast. There are going to be people present and looking forward to an outpouring of God. We're going to have a psalmist, Bam, if you've never heard her. Oh my, you know, she is the truth. We talked about telling the truth, right? She is the truth, right? But be there. If you haven't registered yet, please take a moment, click the link, go to peacocksoulcare.com or barbaralpeacock.com. Get registered on Eventbrite. Order your t-shirts, come prepared, come ready, put your tennis shoes on. Don't, listen, y'all, this is not a day to come cute in heels and things like that. This is honestly warfare. We are really in a spiritual warfare. So we want to make sure that we come prepared and equipped. Oil, if you have it, if you have your prayer shawls, bring those. But whatever you do, come.
Banners,
don't come by yourself. Do not come alone. Bring somebody with you and let's fill the place with our cry as women and with our prayer, as that is our license to things in heaven. Any final comments, ladies?
Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for joining us. Please help us share the word. And we're believing God for the war cry. We're believing God for the stillness. We believe in God for the inclusivity of prayer, what prayer looks like universally. Yeah. We can't box prayer in and bring your real ID. And your real ID is the weapon of prayer. We're going to check it at the door.
Bring your real ID. That'll preach. Glory to God.
Bring your real ID. Well, thank you, ladies, so much for joining us today. What a delight. We're going to be back live next week. Anithia, is that correct?
Yes. Join us live. Bring somebody with you. Have a watch party at your house. At 7:14 p.m. next Tuesday evening, you're going to meet some more of our intercessors for next Saturday there as well.
Yes, and also join us tonight as we have men praying together on our prayer call. On our prayer call, that's on my Facebook page. All right, we.
All righty.
All right, take care. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you all.
Glory.
Love you.
But before we go. If there's someone listening to this call or after this call that does not know Jesus Christ, let me share him with you.
Mm.
For us, he's the best person, the best journey that we could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. Some say the best thing, but he's a person.
Mm.
He's the best relationship that we have. And what we love about Jesus is he says, come as you are. You can come smoking, you can come drinking, you can come cursing, you can come committing adultery, you can come anyway. Jesus says, come, because all of us have sinned. We've sinned. Everybody sins. So he says, come as you are. And guess what? He'll clean you up in the name of Jesus. So today I invite you to invite Jesus. I encourage you to invite Jesus into your heart and just say, dear Jesus, I thank you for dying on the cross 2,000 years ago for me. And today I ask you to come into my heart, save me, and forgive me of my sins. And today I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. It's as easy as ABC. Acknowledging you've missed the mark, that you messed up, that he died on the cross for you, and confessing him as Lord of your life. God bless you. And if you're backslidden, get in the church. Love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen. Love you all. God bless you. Bye-bye.